The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that's really important to me as a father of a 14-year-old daughter, and that is vaping. Last statistic I read was that 1 in 5, about 20% of our youth, vape, which is a highly addictive practice. And before we introduce our guests, could you tell our listeners a little bit about the addiction and health risks associated with vaping?
Well, certainly. Vaping really is a way to inhale liquid nicotine that has been vaporized, which nicotine, of course, is the highly addictive component. But there may be other substances within the cartridge that the individual is putting into their device. And really recently, we've begun seeing some very serious lung diseases that have been directly linked to vaping. And as of October 15th, so just recently, the CDC has published that over 1,400 lung injury cases have been identified as being associated with e-cigarette or vaping products from all 49 states, Washington, D.C., and one U.S. territory. And over 30 people have died from what has been identified as a lung disease associated with vaping. So the consequences of vaping now are very serious, and not just the, which is serious in and of itself, the addiction to nicotine, which could lead to a lifelong dependence on nicotine and perhaps escalating to cigarette use as well, but these other very serious lung diseases leading to, in some cases, death. So we're very concerned about the vaping products. And because they are relatively new on the market, they are not controlled in the sense that something should be, we don't really know what elements go into some of these liquids that are coming, that folks are getting from abroad or whatever through the internet or elsewhere.
On that note, we have a return guest to Healthy Ulster Radio, and she is Cheryl DiPaolo, who's Director of Ulster Prevention Council, a program of family services. And Ulster Prevention Council does evidence-based programs in our schools, in agencies, throughout our community. We've worked very closely with Cheryl and her team. Welcome, Cheryl.
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Cheryl, you're really in the trenches, so to speak, with respect to all of this, and you brought your collection of wonderful little vape devices that were confiscated from students in our schools. What are you seeing and quite disgusting looking?
Yes, I bought my bag of a school at the end of the school year, handed us a bag of their confiscated vapes, and I brought them with me. And one of the reasons that I brought them is just to show how dirty they are. You know, we think of vapor as something clean, and it's really not. They're sticky and dirty, and I want to wash my hands right now.
Yeah. So you're out there every day, and your team is out there. What are you seeing in our schools? What's going on with respect to vaping?
We're hearing concern from just about every school district in the county that vaping is a huge issue. And what we know is exactly what you were saying about 1 out of 5 high school students vaping. And so where we've seen over years with this tremendous victory in students smoking, less and less, and we felt really good about that happening, and now we're seeing the use of nicotine increasing due to these products. And I think one of the most important things to learn from this is that it's not vaping at all. Vaping is really a misnomer. It cleans it up. There's no vapor. What's being done here is that metal particles are heated up and we're inhaling aerosol, which means that there are metal particles that are going into the lungs. So we're not really talking about vapor at all when we use this term.
And this is concentrated nicotine, which is a highly addictive chemical, is it not?
Right. And most kids don't even know that they're using a nicotine product. When we ask them what they think is in it, about 66% said they thought they were just flavoring. 13% didn't know, and only 13% identified nicotine as being the main ingredient. And I'm talking now about the Juul. And if you could see our collection in front of us, so out of about 20 confiscated vapes, more than half of them are a Juul device, which is a brand name device that's very, very popular with youth, and that is actually owned by Altria, which used to be Philip Morris, one of the big tobacco companies. And so youth aren't even aware that they're starting to use a nicotine product when they start to use the Juul.
Well, mm-hmm. I think this is widely recognized as being a way for the cigarette manufacturers now to basically addict new smokers, and under the guise of having something that may, quote unquote, help smokers quit. Actually, there's no evidence that it's really doing that. But, you know, in fact, the New York State Quit Line has now added vaping support to its system. And we would recommend that people look at the New York State Department of Health Quit Line to see what tools are available there to help individuals now quit the vaping because of the nicotine addiction issues that are associated with vaping. So it's a cigarette in disguise,
and even if it didn't encourage, even if it didn't encourage smoking, right? It's probably more profitable for the tobacco companies to make these electronic devices, which they probably make for pennies in China or wherever, and then sell them for a huge profit here. And you know, it's containing highly addictive nicotine. So once kids get addicted to this, you know, plus chemical flavorings and mm-hmm. colorings that, you know, God only knows where they come from and or how harmful they may or may not be. But they are addictive. We know that. And that it's just the same dynamic as smoking. I mean, you're basically getting...
And one of the things that we're seeing is that the companies are using the tactics that the tobacco companies used years ago. I was watching a movie on TV last night. I don't watch a lot of cable. I was watching a movie and I saw two vaping device ads. And my mouth kind of fell open because I didn't know we were advertising nicotine products on TV again.
And again, they sort of came under the radar screen because it's not technically a cigarette. Now, I noticed the same thing not too long ago, that what are they doing? Advertising. I thought that was prohibited, but no, because of the new format, so to speak, they are getting away with it.
And one of the most important issues in this vaping crisis is the issue of flavorings. And I was surprised to read that there are over 8,000 flavors so far out there. I
Yikes.
Couldn't name that many flavors if I spent all day writing. And they're flavors that obviously are meant to appeal to youth. No grown man wants to smoke some, you know, fruit punch bubblegum flavored,
or cookie dough
device.
Absolutely. Whatever it is.
And so the flavors are what's attractive, and the endless variety of colors of devices is attractive. The different flavors and so forth that
I'll
make
tell you
them
though, this pile of devices that you brought. There's nothing attractive.
There's
about
nothing
those.
Attractive, but the smell can be kind of pleasant, and especially the endless variety of flavors. And it's not as harsh mm-hmm. to inhale as a cigarette. So when I first tried a cigarette and thought it was going to be this wonderful thing, and I started choking and coughing, and it completely deterred me. I didn't smoke because my experience was so bad. Thank goodness. But But this is much easier to draw in, and so it's easier to become addicted to nicotine without going through that. You know, you'll get used to it.
Well, it's interesting. I was looking at some older poster cigarette ads from decades ago where they were marketing filter cigarettes as the healthy choice, right? And then they had one, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Camels, you know, or Lucky Strikes, I'm sorry. And it was just like, you know, it's like, no shame, you know, we'll just say whatever appeals to.
And look at all of the illness and death that have followed that.
Half a million Americans a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're going after our kids.
Yeah, we see the tobacco companies using the same tactics that they used in terms of featuring, you know, glamorous women. You know, we know that sex sells, and using kind of sponsoring events like music festivals and so forth. And even there's an ad that features the Marlboro Man with an e-cigarette. Now, it hasn't been out yet.
No.
But all the Marlboro Men are dead because of lung cancer.
So they didn't get him the first time. No. They wanted to re-kill him, right?
Not to mention Joe Camel. God knows whatever happened to that poor soul.
Well, we want to hear more about this and really from your experience out there. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care. Here.
Hannah complained of a headache. It was a rhabdomyosarcoma. Within a few days, Hannah was in treatment because we were told that the tumor was very aggressive. And it very quickly became clear that St. Jude was the ultimate place to be. So we've essentially put our lives in South Africa on hold. Incredibly blessed to be here. St. Jude is an asset to the world. The research that is developed here is offered freely to the rest of the medical world. The entire way that the place operates is just to give and to care. I think it's the kind of place that not only stands as a beacon for pediatric cancer, but I think it could teach the world a couple of lessons about how to treat people. And I think if those lessons could be learned, even in their most basic form, this world could be a better place.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I had no pain. I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49. If only I'd known. If only I'd listened.
People with diabetes are 2 to 4 times more likely to suffer a stroke than people without diabetes. And many who survive are severely disabled. You can reduce your risk of stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. You should also talk to your healthcare provider about taking aspirin. And if you smoke, get help to quit. To learn more about reducing your risk of stroke, call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide.
It's not too late. Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Cheryl DiPaolo, who is the director of the Ulster Prevention Council, which is a program of family services. Cheryl, before the break, we started talking about some of the harmful additives that have been found to be present in these fluids that go into these vaping devices. Could you name some of those
Sure. In addition to the nicotine, there are some ingredients that have been found to cause cancer. And one of the important things to note is that these are not regulated, so they don't even need to list what's in them. So we're not really sure about everything. But we do know that there are toxins like nickel and tin and benzene.
And lead.
Formaldehyde, which is kind of what's in the main ingredient in embalming
fluid,
things that are really found to be dangerous. In addition, some of the flavorings are known to have problems, including diacetyl, which is a flavoring that was found to cause cancer in popcorn factories. So it causes a disease that's known as popcorn lung. Now, that's when you eat it. We don't know what happens, really, when you smoke it. That hasn't been studied.
Well, again, they're trying to really to get more information through research about what is going on these so damaged lungs of individuals who have been, you know, vaping and inhaling these products, some of which are not totally known. We just had a 17-year-old boy die down in the Bronx from a lung disease that was associated with his vaping habit, which, as we said before the break, is really, unfortunately, very popular among school-age children.
Yeah, and a lot of the deaths seem to be related to one of the things that we didn't talk too much about is that these vape devices can be adapted to use THC products as well as who knows what else, anything you want to put in the pod. And so some of these seem to be related to compounds containing THC, and these are black market items. And so we don't really know what's in them at all.
And of course, THC is the psychoactive component of marijuana.
Of marijuana, exactly.
Cannabis.
Which is particularly harmful for the adolescent brain, right? I mean, in terms of the brain.
Absolutely. One of the things that we know is that all of the substances of abuse, really, but including nicotine and marijuana, are highly addictive and can harm brain development. And we know now that brain development continues up until the age of 25, so that is can be an ongoing problem. And the changes in the developing brain from nicotine can lead to some mental disorders and lifelong learning problems, difficulty concentrating, paying attention. So these are very serious consequences for using the substance.
Mm-hmm. And one of the most popular vape devices that we hear about often is Juul. They have a big percentage of the market, do they not? Can talk about that a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Juul is really by far the most popular one on the market. And what we know is that one Juul pod, which is a little, you know, maybe looks like a teaspoon kind of liquid, is a pack of cigarettes worth of nicotine.
Yikes.
20 cigarettes in one Juul pod. And this is like more than triple the amount that's allowed in the European Union in terms of nicotine amount. So it's a very high concentration. So someone may be thinking they're not vaping that much, and actually they're vaping several cigarettes worth at a time.
Mm-hmm. And what are your folks here out in the schools? I mean, do they hear that rates are increasing? I know that we get the occasional call from a school administrator or a nurse or whatever saying it's, you know, help.
It's yes, really, absolutely help. We hear that, you know, the students are calling the bathrooms vape lounges. There are even items that are sold to conceal use. I have a picture here of a student in a hoodie that has a vape device concealed in the little drawstring, so you can just pull it up and inhale and tuck it back away. And because they're so small, they do look like a USB flash drive. So a parent might see one sitting on a desk and not even realize that they're looking at a vape device. And one of the things that we are looking at is how schools can address this issue in a proactive way that addresses the risk, so that rather than an out-of-school suspension or, you know, some kind of punishment or trouble that doesn't help the student with the problem, we've acquired a couple of really cool things. One is a vape escape room. And so it's an activity for 10 youth around a table. We have two quick kits, so we can do 20 youth at a time, where they're doing fun activities and learning about the dangers of vaping as they do it, which can be part of kind of a consequence of, if you got caught vaping, now you need to learn about vaping rather than just a suspension or something that's more punitive. We've also are looking at a four-session curriculum called Catch My Breath, which is free, and it's funded by, if I can say, CVS, which does a really good job with health issues.
Right. They banned the sale several years ago.
They took a multi-billion dollar hit
to the bottom line.
They were the first ones to do that.
And catch.org. And so it's a four-session curriculum that is really fun, interactive videos, PowerPoints, and so forth to teach students about vaping. And their outcomes show that for seventh graders, where in a normal class of, say, 200 seventh graders in a school district, usually 18 seventh graders would start vaping. After this curriculum, that's cut in half or more. So that's a pretty good outcome. So we're looking at being able to offer that and inform the schools about it and do more community education as well about the dangers.
Mm-hmm. Now, do the schools call you in to do this, or is this part of your regular activity in the schools that you're already in, or is it both?
It's whatever the school wants. We're willing to come in and do it. We can do it in school, after school, community centers, faith-based community, anywhere where we can get enough youth together. It's worth our while to come out and perform the service for the community.
Nice. And I've heard some of the schools, too, that since the bathroom is a common place for kids to vape, that they're putting in specialized vape detection devices in, like, kind of similar to like a smoke detector model. Are you hearing that out there?
A little bit about that. I don't really know what the effectiveness is at this point. I know that they are, using monitors, kind of monitoring the bathroom during change of class and so forth. It's pretty quick. But unfortunately, these devices are so easy to use that you can use it sitting in class. You don't even have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Wow.
To not be detected.
Wow.
Sure.
And what do you think parents can do, right? I mean, teenagers don't want to be lectured by their parents, but what's some practical advice that you might give to a parent with respect?
Well, I think it's really important to say directly, I don't want you to do this. It's dangerous for you. It's not that I don't want you to have any fun. This is something that's dangerous to your long-term health. And we know that when parents give clear messages, youth do listen to that. That's very important to them, what their parents think. And also that they understand that it's because of the health risk in the long term, that this is something. And the other thing that, we have some parents that are like, well, I would rather that my kids vape than use cigarettes. This is so much better.
So we have to educate the parents.
We have to educate the parents. And here's a stat. Students who use vape are four times more likely to begin smoking cigarettes within 18 months of starting vaping. So this is not the way to stop kids.
And that's
from smoking.
On top of the dangers of lung disease and ingesting chemicals and becoming addicted to the vape devices themselves, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nicotine is nothing to be fooled around with. It's a highly, highly addictive chemical. So, if parents or community groups want to get more information about vaping or many of the wonderful programs, I mean, this is just one part of what Ulster Prevention does, right? Can you describe a few of the other activities and
Sure, we do an evidence-based program in many, many school districts in Ulster County called Too Good for Drugs, which is a 10-week evidence-based curriculum that teaches social, emotional, cognitive skills, as well as teaching about the different substances. We also have a mock teen bedroom that's very cool called Hidden in Plain Sight, and it contains some paraphernalia, signs of substance use, also signs of suicidality and self-harm. And it's a bedroom where we don't allow youth to go through it. It's only for adults to go through and kind of learn what to look for in terms of teen use. And we're available to come talk about really any topic related to substance use, abuse, finding help, preventing even the smallest children from beginning to use. We're here as a resource to the community.
And you really do terrific work out there. And we know that reducing the demand side of the equation for all of these harmful substances is so critical, because you can restrict access, raise the age, or whatever, make it less available, or arrest illegal drug dealers, what have you. But if you don't knock down the demand then you're just kind of breaking even. And we have to give a lot of credit to you and your team out there. You do amazing work.
We love what we do.
Yeah, and we love you, what you do too.
We do too.
And that's about, unfortunately, once again, we ran out of time. This is such a great topic, and the work is so important. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. And thank you to Cheryl DePaulo.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.